I just want to share with y'all the struggles I went through and kind of where I came from and where I am now. So, you know, the verse that I go back to that I wanted to lead off with that you'll kind of see throughout my path is John 8:12. And Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life." And so kind of the darkness part starts my journey. I grew up Methodist. My dad never went to church with me. My mom went periodically, loved me, did a lot of other things for me, but it just wasn't first and foremost. Throughout when I was growing up, I played golf all my life. So I was around people on the golf course gambling and drinking and just kind of doing the worldly things. And sure enough, I fell into those. About 16, I started escalating into betting on football games, and that was fun. We would all hang out, drink, bet, and we'd win. We'd have highs and lows each day, but it was fun. Started out with $25, $50 every now and then, but we couldn't wait till the weekends where we could watch another game and bet on another team, and just everybody would crowd together, and it was just it was a roller coaster. And so that continued till I got to college. And throughout college, it just $25 turned into $100, $100 turned into $200, $200 turned into $500. And every weekend I was betting. And I didn't think really anything was wrong with it. Everybody else around me was doing it too. In college, living the college life that a lot of people fall into, drinking, partying, and gambling. And that's where it was. And then in 2005, Leslie and I met, and we started dating in 2006. And in 2009, we got married. Well, the problem was she was raised differently than I was. So a lot of things that I did, she didn't agree with, but we got married anyway. And we had our first little girl in August of 2009. And so that was life-changing for her. It was life-changing for me, too. But the problem is I didn't change a whole lot. I continued down the gambling road. Now I had a job, was making some money. The $500 games turned into $1,000, $2,000, $5,000. I was absent from my family. I might have been there in person, but I wasn't there. She would always ask me, "Why are you so disconnected? Why are we so disconnected?" She didn't know that was the reason why. And it was because I was so engaged in something else. Something else was my God. Something else gave me joy each day. But what I found out is that at the end of the day, it didn't give me joy because I was just waiting for that next day to gamble some more. And so we kind of started off on the wrong foot in our marriage. We joined the church in 2009. We would come to church periodically, no Sunday school class. She did mention it, but I knew I couldn't do that because I would grow closer to people and probably get exposed to how I was really living. So I was on a bachelor party with some friends, been drinking all weekend, and I come home in January of 2012. And she said, "I thought you stopped gambling." And I said, "I don't gamble." And she was like, "I'm giving you a chance to tell me the truth." And I said, "I'm telling you the truth." And she had pulled up our bank accounts, and I had taken $40,000 of home equity loans out on her house, and she didn't know about it. I even got her to sign the papers. But she trusted me then. I mean, that never crossed her mind. And so right then, all trust, everything was broken. And she wanted to get a divorce, which was normal. Why would she want to stay married? And her parents kept her in there. But I begged her not to leave me. And I basically told her I'd change, that it wouldn't happen again. And that was my intention for sure. But I hadn't turned it over to someone else that could change me. And so throughout 2012, we I quit gambling pretty much. And then late in 2012, I started gambling some more. Not as much as I was, but it was still here and there and still hanging around the same crowds. And she always told me, she said, if you're going to be different, you got to hang around different people because eventually you're going to do the same things that they do. I couldn't register with that because I always hung around the people that lived the lifestyle like I did. And to me, that was the fun lifestyle. So from 2012 to December of 2014, I still bet on football games periodically. And our marriage was up and down. We would be good 1 month. The next month, we would be threatened for a divorce. And it put so much stress, the gambling put so much stress on our relationship because I was always at her about, we don't need to spend this, we don't need to do this, we don't need to do that with money, and she was stressed out over it. And it was really me taken from our family. So we continued on through 2012, all the way to 2014. Then, little did I know, God started putting people in my life to prepare me for what was about to come. She was still continuing, let's go to church, let's go to Sunday school. And one day we got in a fight in November. I got up and came to church because that's what I would do when we got in a fight. I'd get up and bring Abby Catherine to church or do something just like at the last second just to say, look, I'm doing this. And Troy Gardner was checking me in at the nursery, and he said, hey, man, we got a Sunday school class. You ought to come one day. And so what did I do when I got home? I was like, we need to go to Sunday school. And she was like, yeah, I've been telling you that. And I just was really saying that to appease her, to get her to not be so mad at me and things like that. So we ended up going like one time, maybe in early December. But then the end of December rolled around. We hadn't been back. And December 31st, it was New Year's, and we went down to New Orleans. I had this whole plan. We're going to go to New Orleans. Leslie, and she was 8 months pregnant too, so that's probably a good idea. And me and her and our little girl went down to New Orleans, and we're going to go eat. Well, the next day, I had a buddy that had box tickets to the Alabama-Ohio State game. It was the first playoff game. So, I mean, my whole motive was to go to that, but to try to, you know, pacify her for a little while. So we went to New Orleans. We went out to eat for New Year's Eve. New Year's Day, they left at 10 o'clock, and off I went. Bourbon Street, casino, and then the football game. And, I mean, I couldn't wait. And then, so I went to the game. We hung out, drank after the game. We went to the casino to probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My phone had died that night. She probably tried to call me 5 or 6 times. And so the next morning, she calls me. She's mad, of course. Why wouldn't she be? And at this point, I was just angry. I was probably angry more at myself, but I wanted to be angry at her. And got home, and she was she really wouldn't even talk to me. And I was fine with that because I didn't really want to talk. I slept upstairs that night. That was January the 2nd. The next day, we just went through the routine, didn't really talk. And that was January the 3rd. That was a Saturday night. And that night, I lay there for hours, and I was just thinking, I mean, can it really be this miserable to live the life I'm living? And I just prayed out to God, and I said, God, I got to do one of two things. I said, I got to get a divorce and move on to something that's better, which I thought was better, really not, but, or I need you to show me the direction I need to go. And he just spoke to me and said, Justin, I need you to let go of everything you got and just follow me. And that kind of started my walk. And so the next morning I go to Sunday school. I don't say anything to Leslie because when you tell someone something for 5 years and you never change, what's the point then? And God just told me, he said, just follow me and show people with your actions, not with your words. And I'd failed her so many times, whatever I said wouldn't have mattered anyway. I go to church that morning. I go to Sunday school, and I meet a couple of people. I'd met Trinity before. I'd met John before passing. And so, but before Sunday school started, Trinity turned around and said, "Hey, man, I'm starting a I got a Freedom in Christ class I teach on Wednesday nights. I want you to come." And Leslie had mentioned over the years, "Hey, we ought to go to Wednesday night church too." But so I was like, "Man, that sounds like a great idea." And so I start going to it, but then I get invited to, this is a kind of point where I think that really opened me up, and I think that this is what a lot of people don't see when you open up to someone where people feel like they can open up to you. I was at Michael Dean's cabin for a national championship game, and I was with the Sunday school class. It's probably the first one I've ever watched without drinking and gambling on since I was probably 16. But we went out there, and man, I had a great time. Rode out there. Somehow Dalton and I got hooked up to ride together. I didn't even know him. But on the way out there, I'd heard his story because we did come to church every now and then, and he had told it over to the church. And so he told me a story again, and it was kind of eye-opening for someone to be so real with you. And we were out there. John came up to me and spoke. We didn't hardly know each other. And he said, "Walk out to my vehicle with me." And I walked up to his vehicle with him. And John just basically stripped all his pride and said, "Let me tell you my story." And I didn't even know him. And this man just broke down and just told me everything about his walk with Christ. And right then, it just opened the door. That's another person God put in my life because he knew I would respond to it. And I ended up riding home with John. He asked me how my relationship with Christ was. I didn't open up to him then. I think I said something to say of, "Oh, it's okay, maybe." And so I think it was a couple weeks later when I actually sat down and told him my story. But I kept building relationships. I kept not telling Leslie what I was doing, but I just let God show her through my actions. And I was challenged a couple of times on wanting to defend myself, wanting to tell her what I'm doing. And God just showed me, you don't have to defend yourself. I've already done it all for you. In April, Trinity came up to me and called me, and he said, "Hey, have you ever been baptized?" And I was like, "No." He's like, "Well, you know, just been praying for you. Just let me know when that time comes or if God puts it on you." And 2 weeks later, I was running one morning, listening to some music, and I just felt God speak to me because it had been on my heart. And I saw him at church the following Wednesday night, and I said, "I'm ready." He lined me up. I went and talked to Mr. Gary and told him my story and got baptized last August. Through the first 6 months, Leslie and I never talked about this, never spoke about my story, never really talked about what we were doing. I was just leading the way, and somehow God was helping her to follow in. I'll never forget, I was sitting at the 4th of July celebration, and I turned to her mom and I said, "I'd really love for you to come to my baptism. I'm getting baptized in August." And Leslie's mom said, she told me, she said, "I'm so proud of you because Leslie told me you've really changed." And sorry, get emotional. But that meant a lot because I never said anything, but God showed her. And the last thing, and I'm going to close, but you know, it's so unbelievable what God can do because we've only been a year and a half removed from this, and Leslie never looks at our bank accounts really, never questions what I spend money on, never questions where our money is. And how can someone do that after you've basically stolen $40,000 from your family? It's only through God, you know, showing her and leading her through forgiveness, because she shouldn't trust me, but she does. Now, don't get me wrong, Leslie and I still struggle at times, but we know where to put our faith in, and when we have conflicts, we turn to the Word, and we turn to praying together, and we turn to the Bible instead of trying to point fingers at each other and tell each other how bad and how wrong you are and how wrong you are for that. It's been, she prayed for me for 5 years, and it took that long, but God, I mean, it was a miracle. God turned it around. And it's just so important in my walk that I formed friends that have the same end goal now. You got friends that'll tell you when you're out of line and you're not doing right instead of what you want to hear. I used to have the friends that told me everything I wanted to hear, not what I needed to hear. I just want to thank everybody that's had a part of that, and thank y'all for letting me speak tonight.